Okay. Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 30, the third paragraph, beginning with, "We alcoholics are men and women," and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, "We get worse, never better." Today's readers are Jessica C., the 12 Steps, Mary C., the 12 Traditions. And our Big Book readers are Nancy P. in the text, Robin P. on page 164, and Jessica C. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Kathy M., and our second hour moderator is Tony B. The share ID for Sunday, April 12, 2026, is 23,357. That's 23,357. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jessica C. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Okay, seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Well, thank you, Jessica. I will now ask Mary C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks so much. This is Mary C., recovered compulsive overeater in Italy. And here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Mary. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we'll resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 30, the third paragraph beginning with, "We alcoholics are men and women," and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, "We get worse, never better." I will now ask Nancy P. to begin reading.
Hi, good morning, Rick. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever regains control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. Rick, you'll time me, please.
Yep.
So I'm Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So I love this paragraph because it says, uses words that I can understand. Never, inevitable, always, you know, no such thing as, like this sort of, this part of the chapter says things like that. I mean, the battle's over and I lost. And, you know, this is more about alcoholism. This chapter is more about alcoholism. That's the second half of step one. And our lives have become unmanageable. Our lives were unmanageable. You know, it really should be 13 steps because it's not, my life is unmanageable no matter what. I mean, I've been recovered for 8.5 years and my life is still unmanageable. And the cruelest part of the disease, I think, is the idea, this is a direct result of the disease itself, that I think, you know, if I would put the food down or have some amount of serenity at some point in some weird way, that I've got it licked. I mean, seriously, I remember thinking, you know, it only takes 2.5 seconds to say, all right, I'm not going to eat compulsively anymore. And 10 minutes later, I'd be like, this is awesome. I'm still abstinent. I just love this. I feel tight and clean. And of course, you know, 4 minutes later, I'd go to the kitchen to find something to eat. So over any period, considerable or otherwise, I'm continually getting worse unless I embrace who I am and do what it says in this book. And, you know, I was talking on the phone to a friend the other day, and she had a relapse, not a long one, but she had a relapse. And she said to me, her sponsor actually advised her to ask me what I did. And she said, I just want to set it and forget it. And I said, that's just like never going to be able to happen. Since she asked me my opinion, I gave her my opinion. And I said, I don't set it and forget it. I'm every day, you know, I was told when I first recovered that this program should pinch, that I should be kind of, you know, always like making sure that I've done what I need to do. And I always use the analogy of if I have a, you know, a book, you know, a fluffy bathrobe and sheepskin slippers on and a cup of tea, I'm going to sit on a couch and fall asleep. But if I read at my desk, I will not fall asleep. And that's kind of, it doesn't, I don't have to be in, you know, shackles for this stuff. I just have to be ever watchful. And I'm not willing to compromise my recovery, not my recovery. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I do care about my relationship with food, but I mostly care about my brain. And my brain is finally, finally at rest. I mean, I got stuff going on today. It's not been a good morning. I'm huddled in the corner of South Station in Boston sharing this, you know, if you can hear that in the background, you know. It's just been a weird morning so far, and it's only the beginning. And yet I'm joyful because I know that I'm safe. I know, you know, my life is, you know, I have great things planned for the next couple of days. We're going to see my son. Got another... He's graduating
from time,
another stage of his, yep, I'll wrap up. He's graduating from another stage of his military career, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I couldn't be happier. And here I am huddled in the corner at South Station sharing on this paragraph. So, you know, as long as I keep my eye on the ball, which is on my feet, making sure they're facing forward, I got nothing to worry about. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Rick.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Nancy. All right, before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And everybody hit star one. Thank you. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Leah.
Melissa G.
Christina L.
Melissa S.
Okay. Okay, so I've got Leah S., Christina L., Melissa S. Did I miss anybody?
Robbie
in South Carolina.
Melissa G.
Well, I heard somebody who is... Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, one more time on that. Who is
Lisa
that
B.
with the last
in South Carolina?
Okay, gotcha, Lisa. And then there was somebody with the last. Somebody G.
Melissa.
Okay, Melissa G.
Yep.
And the Vasa O.
Vasa O. And then did I hear Claire E. from the UK?
Robin P.
I thought I heard some. Robin P. Did I? It was somebody from the UK. Okay, here's who I have.
Yeah, it was me.
I've got
E from the UK, Rick.
Yeah, Claire E. Okay, I thought I heard you, Claire. Okay, so we're going to stop there, guys. Unless you gave me your name and I didn't call it. So I've got Leah S., Christina L., Melissa S., Melissa G., Lisa B., Vasa O., Claire E., and Robin P. Was there anybody who gave out their name and I didn't call it? Okay, so Leah S., you are up first, followed by Christina L., and please remember to introduce yourself, including where you are calling from. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Leah S. I am recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm going to say the last sentence. Over any considerable period, we get worse, not better, never better. I had a hard time understanding that. I kept on saying I lived in this illusion that I'm going to, my life is, you know, forget about everybody talking about their emotional stuff. You know, my life is going to be wonderful. All I have to do is lose this weight, and I'm going to just project absolutely beautifully. And not only project, but I'm going to, you know, maneuver things, and I'm just going to, you know, do things, and everything's going to be perfect. I didn't realize how sick I am. I really am a compulsive overeater. I cannot control myself when I see something that is a trigger food with me. I can't believe it, but I have to believe it. This is something that is inevitable. I have this disease. I am a compulsive overeater. And that's my solution, my admission of that, my understanding that I cannot control my food. Forget about controlling my life. Forget about controlling anything, absolutely anything. And then it started interesting me. It started making a big deal out of me. What am I living with, and how do I behave in this life that I live with? And you know, one step leads after the other, but it was the first step that I cannot control my food that is really, really addictive to me, and I needed to admit that. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Christina L., you are up next, followed by Melissa S. Go ahead, Christina.
Okay, now I'm unmuted. All right. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. And I love where we're at in the big book right now, because this is where I was at when I came back from relapse in July of 24. And I find it interesting that Bill uses the word control four times in this paragraph. And usually, from what I've been told and what I've learned, is that he doesn't use the same word all the time. He uses different words to convey what he's trying to teach and stuff. And I did a little Google search on it this morning just to see, and it's basically to just smash. He did it to smash the delusion, you know, that we're that we're normal, like normal people. I have actually written in my big book from February 4th of 2025, next to this paragraph, I need to make a decision, like I did with my religion, like I did with ACA, that I am not going to believe I am not a real compulsive overeater. God, please help me smash the delusion. All of my relapses have gotten progressively worse. And even before I came into program, like every diet I tried, my control over my eating got less and less and less. And, you know, this paragraph tells me that I can't control my food no matter what. I can't even control my life. Like Nancy shared in the opening share, you know, that's one of the things that I say every morning. God, I am a compulsive overeater, and I am powerless over people, places, things, and my food. And it's only through your power, your grace, your mercy that I'm able to do this program. And I think that's really all that I have left. That's all that I really have. I just hope that I don't ever forget this, especially that last sentence, that that I'm going to get worse, never better. And just grateful to be here with all of you today. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina L. from Florida. All right, Melissa S., you are up next, followed by Melissa G. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, this is Melissa S. from New Jersey. A lot of Melissas today. I want to own up that I made a commitment to this group to read the 12 steps on Mondays for the month of April. And this is the second Monday and the second time I missed it. And I just want to totally own that and apologize. And, you know, I just totally forgot. And yesterday I read through the 12 and 12 really slowly over the last 2 weeks. I was on a Passover holiday and I couldn't go on, listen on to meetings every day. There's days I couldn't do that. And I just read and read and read and read that, you know, this is, I just got to give it over to God and I'm not in control. And the more I think I'm in control, the more I'm not in control. And, you know, I'm new here and I'm trying to work it. And it really, what's come up for me since I really put my mind and heart and soul into this is that my constant subconscious thought is I can't. I can't stick to this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't. It's so loud. I can't. And I can if it's not me, if I just keep on focusing that this is not me. God is putting me where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. And maybe what I needed today, and I guess what is I needed today, is I needed to miss this and own it publicly instead of trying to hide and make an excuse like I do with all these other things that I miss. And I really appreciate everybody being here, and I really appreciate how much healing and commitment there is in this meeting. And thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Melissa. Melissa S. from New Jersey. Okay. Melissa G., you are up next, and then I'll remind everybody where we're at, and then we'll continue on with Lisa B. All right. Go ahead, Melissa G.
Hi, this is Melissa G. in Michigan. Thank you for hearing me and hosting the meeting. So I am coming back from an emotional, spiritual, and physical relapse today. And this section in the book really stood out to me, and it got me thinking, you know, how can I relate this to my life? And I started thinking about, I've been on like depression medication for many, many years, and I always go through a period where I think I'm okay. And I try to get it off of the medication and live my life just by being in the sun more and focusing on good things and, you know, doing things that make me happy. And it's a very short period once I stop taking my medication before I end up in the pits of depression again and apathy about life. And it really is the same for this program because first, you know, I start picking up my emotions and I start saying like, oh, well, I have the right to be angry and I have the right to be offended. And then I drop my spiritual and my prayer meditation, you know, is maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but not true connection. And then I quit going to meetings, and then pretty soon I think I got it, right? Because I'm still not eating at that time. I'm not happy, and I'm not free, but I'm not eating. And then it's once I put down all of the things that this program teaches me every single time I relapse and come back, you know, I'm right back in the depths of the disease. And it's crazy that, like, even still, in my head, I have this thought that, like, well, this time, maybe I can control it. Maybe if I just A, B, and C, I'll be okay. And I'm never okay after a period of time. So I'm so grateful for this program and that you guys are consistent and always here when I'm ready to come back. So thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, Melissa G. from Michigan. All right, just a reminder of where we're at. We are on page 30, the third paragraph, beginning with "We alcoholics are men and women," and reading through that one paragraph, ending with "We get worse, never better." All right, Lisa B., you are up, followed by Vasa O. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa B. from Michigan. Good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And I'm so thrilled to be in this chapter. This chapter is so amazing, and listening to all of the shares continuing on in this book. What really jumps out for me, the core points, the word we, control, demoralization, acceptance, and power. And, you know, this paragraph for me today, this is what I got out of it. There's a strong, powerful truth here, but there is hope. There is hope, because when I can accept the truth of who and what I am, there's really freedom, you know, waiting for me. And I am really grateful that it is a WE program. It's listening to all of your shares. That's actually how I identified in truly as a compulsive overeater, and listening to my sponsor. And it was in this chapter when we were reading it together, her sharing what the words meant to her. It just helped me identify in more and more. So I can totally relate to the loss of control and how it gets worse, never better. And then the times when I wasn't binging, I still even then knew that something wasn't right. You know, so I get about the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, feeling defeated, not understanding how I kept up ending up back there again and again. And I just love the support of the fellowship and hearing it in your stories and the hope of being recovered, that I too could get recovered. And, you know, what I really get in this chapter and in this reading is it's about a lack of power, but the power is there waiting for me. And that's where prayer can come in. You know, I can ask in prayer from a higher power to help me to see the truth. And that's what I've had to do. So I just see this as a continuous invitation for freedom and opportunity for a different life that could be totally different than anything I've ever known. And it's not about, you know, the power coming from within me, but it's about me accepting the truth of who and what I am and then stepping out. Now we're going to start to get into, you know, as we keep reading, what the solution really is. But it starts with this, accepting, you know, who and what I am. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. All right, Vasa O., you are up next, followed by Claire E. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rick, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Florida. And yes, this is where I was just before I came to the program of Overeaters Anonymous. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our eating. For me, it's eating. And it's not like I didn't have brief diets every once in a while, but I always went back to the food, and it was progressively worse. By the time I came to OA, there was really nothing more I tried that I didn't try. Everything I tried just did not work, and that was the beginning. They call it the bottom, you know, whatever that we want to call it. It was bottom. I remember saying, if I don't do this, I'm just going to die fat and miserable. And they call it gift of desperation. And I was so desperate, but I don't know why they call it the gift of desperation. How am I going to give up this alcoholic food? That's torture. That's not a gift. But I found out being abstinent and living the steps, it is a gift, you know. But also, I remember when I read at the beginning, the foreword for the first edition, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from seemingly hopeless state of mind and body to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. I mean, this, when I read this, gave me so much hope. I wanted to know how these men and women recovered, and I wanted it so bad. And I kept on, you know, my sponsor said, just keep coming, and the miracle is going to happen with you. And it has happened to me. And it is by the grace of God. I did put the food addiction down. I wish I could tell you it was easy. I was going through all the withdrawals, and I wanted to eat so bad. But my sponsor said, we need to have a higher power than ourselves to help us. Keep on asking, Vasa. Even if I didn't believe, I didn't trust, I did it anyways, and it worked, and I threw myself in the program. It's not about just the food addiction. It's about my life and my will, too, working the rest of the steps. Thank you for letting me share and I pass.
Well, thank you, Vasa O. from Florida. All right. Up next, we have Claire E., and followed by Robin P. And Claire, go ahead and unmute. And she has let me know that she might have technical difficulties unmuting. So if not, we'll move on to Robin P. if we don't hear from her, and then I'll try her again. All right, Claire, are you there? All right, we're going to go ahead and go with Robin P., and then I'll swing back for Claire E. Go ahead, Robin P., if you're ready.
Yes. Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovery compulsive overeater, currently in Franklin, Tennessee. And I just think of that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Man, I was living that. It's such a miracle these past 10 years, you know, over 10 years now. I'm just so grateful to be abstinent and recovered today. And you know, every day I just think, oh my gosh, I'm literally living a different life, as if I'm a completely different person, which I feel like I am. And yet I was that person who was living in pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I was a low bottom bulimic and anorexic at times and compulsive reader. It, to me, it's all the same. And to know that there is a solution, I get to live in it one day at a time, you know, reaching up and reaching out and doing my best to live in the steps and to be of service to God and my fellows. And it's just amazing how I get to show up and be of service and make a difference. And I can feel when I do that, and it's such a blessing. And I think I'm just one person, but I can feel when I make that difference for somebody. And when somebody makes that difference for me, just living in the steps, it's just literally the opposite of what's described in this paragraph. And just a reminder that, you know, it just gets worse, never better. The bottom just kept getting lower and lower, and I kept feeling I was playing Russian roulette with my life. And today, I know that I have this relationship with food that's completely different. Food is not my God anymore. I have a God, and it isn't food. And I'm going through a lot in my life right now, and I just keep practicing the steps and being in awe of how they work and how when I make a 10-step, I literally feel this, that God is there with us and that it's a blessing for the person who's receiving the 10-step, and it's a blessing for me. And I can just feel this, like, poof, you know, something that I thought was so, like, oh, well, this won't work on a 10-step. And it does. You know, so far in my life, everything works when I work the steps. And I'm just eternally grateful. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Robin B. from Tennessee. I heard from Claire E., and she's not going to be able to join us this morning. But have fun where you're at. Sounds like a beautiful place in Greece. So before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 30, the third paragraph, beginning with, "We alcoholics are men and women," and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "We get worse, never better." And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning? Jason,
I hope
you.
Laura B. from New Jersey.
Okay, so I heard somebody from Florida, somebody from New Jersey. Who is from Florida?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. And then who is from New Jersey?
Devora B.
How do you spell your first name?
Devora, D-E-V-O-R-A-H.
Okay. And then I heard a Peggy H, I think.
Peggy W.
Oh, Peggy W. Sorry. Jim, okay. Who else?
Bonnie N.
Sorry, guys. Bonnie M. from Florida?
Honey with an H.
Oh, okay. Honey N. And how do you spell your name, Honey?
H-A-N-N-E-Y. There was also a Bonnie.
Yep, I got Bonnie B, and thank you, Honey. And I've missed a few names, I know. I've got Bonnie B, Devorah.
That's okay.
Peggy W. and Han. Esther?
Yes, K. from Georgia.
Esther, okay, Esther K. from Georgia.
Jim F.
All right. He was that from Illinois, the gentleman?
Jim.
Okay, Jim. All right. So, here's who I've got. I've got Bonnie B., Devorah, Peggy W., Bonnie N., Esther K., and Jim. Bonnie B., you're up first, followed by Devorah. Please remember to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida, recovered by the grace of God. Grateful for each and every one of you and for your shares. They've been powerful and profound this morning. You know, the word that jumped out to me was the word lost. We've lost the ability to control our drinking. Initially, that to me was like overwhelming. And when I leaned into it and I fully understood that when you lose something, it's gone. But God gives you something different. What he gives you is always going to be better than what you thought you were supposed to have. I started to embrace the program in a different way. I used to see the program as a glass half empty, and now I see it as a glass half full. I'm waiting for God to drop the ice cubes in. He does over and over and over, and then the glass overfills, over and over and over. This thing that I thought was so horrible has been the greatest gift given to me, because I no longer wrestle with the thing that I thought it was, which was food, and obviously it's not the food. I no longer wrestle with my thinking. I no longer wrestle with the emotional sobriety part of this program. And when that is put where it needs to be put, which is, you know, again, in that third step, offered back to God, I give it back to you. It's not mine. It's yours. Everything else just works itself out. I did not come into this program and have a clean swipe. I have relapsed many times. I have had many sponsors. I'm so grateful that this was part of the process. And as someone else shared earlier, I'm so grateful that I had a phone being to come back to where the message was the same every single time. Hey, it's not a problem. If it's your DNA, it's your DNA. You'll figure it out. And once you figure it out and you figure out what the solution is, prepare to enjoy life, because it's a whole lot better than what you were trying to get on the backside. It felt really overwhelming and sad to me, but this is all part of the process, right? I do have a DNA that is progressively getting worse. And I've got a brain that wants to convince me that, you know, because the scale appears to be the same and because the pant size appears to be the same, I can go back and I can do what I used to do. That's the broken part. I can't. I have a DNA. But it's not a problem, because I got a really great food plan. I have a nutritionist. I've got, a group of people, 15,000 plus. I'm not unique. And if I lean in and trust this to God, it becomes the greatest gift ever. So, yes, I had to lose something in order to gain something. And what I had to lose was the thought that I could ever control my DNA. And I can't. I'm born with it, and it just is what it is. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and life is better than I ever would have imagined. And so I'll pass with that, and thanks, everyone.
Well, thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. All right, I've got Devorah up next, followed by Peggy W. Go ahead, Devorah, and please remember to include your name, first initial, and where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. It's Devorah B. from New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if I was unmuted. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm really enjoying this meeting so much. I'm nodding my head along to all the shares. And we all have this same thing. We all lost the ability to control our eating, and I definitely tried in the years leading up to my discovering OA. I tried different things. I'm not one of those people who tried everything, but I tried a lot of things. I never had that much weight to lose, but it always really bothered me, and I tried. And at that time, I had this illusion that I could control it one day. And when I came into the rooms and people said, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater and this is a disease, it was such a relief to know that it was never a matter of a lack of self-control. It was a disease that God gave me, and I have it, and I will never have that control, because this is who I am for the rest of my life. But there is a solution. And when I first came in, people used to say this expression, when you're in a meeting, the disease is outdoors doing push-ups out in the hallway. And I found that very true for me, that it's a really powerful and, like we say, cunning, baffling, powerful disease. It's so strong. It's so hard to understand, but it's really true. And I just am coming back after 10 years of always starting day one and, you know, switching sponsors, switching food plans, but always relapsing in the end. And every relapse was worse, and it got worse and worse. So it's really true that all these intervals, it's like it says here, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And I really remember, and it wasn't so long ago, I have now like over 100 days, just sitting on my bed after my most recent binge, just so demoralized, couldn't understand how I got there, couldn't believe I did it again. But I did, and it's a progressive illness, and that's the exact way to describe it. So thank God now I have a wonderful step sponsor who emphasizes to me every single time we speak the need to surrender everything. And when I'm faced with any type of difficulty or choice, to always say, God, what do you want me to do? What's your will? And then to follow what that means.
It's time, Deborah.
Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Deborah D. from New Jersey. All right, Peggy W., you're up next, followed by Honey N. Go ahead, Peggy.
Thanks. Peggy W. from Wisconsin. I feel like I've been on this chapter now since I came into OA, which was, I think, week four. I'm on week four. And I just can't get it up in this, actually. It just gives me a reminder every single day that I am not a normal person. I am not a normal eater. I can't rationalize what I do with food. And I love these 12 steps. I love actually reading the book, having my sponsor go through and explain the book. Because I've read this book a dozen times, I did not get it. I didn't understand this book. I don't know. I'm in a totally different mindset today, this morning. And today I turned 58 years old, and I am thinking that this year is going to probably be my best year because I'm willing to surrender every single morning to my higher power and letting him take over for me. I never thought I would get to that point. Like, I was so thinking this is a cult when I came into this program. Like, oh my God, what are you people? Like, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's incredible, though. There's been so many things that happen every single day that tell me that there definitely is a higher power. And so I'm just going to keep coming and listening and doing what my sponsor asks me to do because I want to get better. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. All right, honey, in you're up next, followed by Esther K. Go ahead, honey.
Hi, this is Honey, recovered compulsive overeater in Miami. Very grateful to be here and to share. And, you know, I hope this comes out the way I think, you know, but, you know, sometimes when I think of the food, it almost like, even though it was taking over me and, you know, I couldn't control it, like, it was trying so hard to protect me from the spiritual malady, and I only knew that by putting the food down, you know, and because it was trying to protect me in many ways, you know, and not let me feel the pain of what it feels like to have the spiritual sickness, you know, that fear and bewilderment and, you know, just lack of, like, faith in anything except for myself, you know. And when I put the food down was really when I started to feel that once again, you know, that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization of I can't live with the food and I can't live without it. Like, and I need something to help me, you know, and then a decision has to be made of, you know, do we keep going on like this and know where it leads, or do we have faith in something bigger? And I love the lead up to this, and how the big book, like, takes you through and reminds you of, like, this is hard, this is painful, like, living the way you're living now is so painful, and it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm so grateful that every time I work with a sponsee, like, I get that reminder, you know, and it helps me so much because it takes me right back to where it was, but also what it's like to put the food down without bringing God into my life today, you know, and without working with someone else and carrying this forward. So it's a good reminder, and we have a solution, so thank God. All right. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, honey, in from Florida. Esther K., you are up next, followed by Jim. Go ahead, Esther.
Hi, I'm Esther K. from Georgia. Whoa. When I'm into not the solution, I have self-pity that gives me fake comfort that pulls me away from the truth, from the higher power. I feel sorry for myself. I want attention. I feel the victim. I isolate. I block my growth. I disconnect from others. Self-pity is like a drug because I feel self-pity. I eat. It's like a circle. I need more and more and more, and I suffer more and more and more. I'm 31 days abstinent today, and I am very proud because I've been through a lot of pain. I had the cancer surgery last month, and I had a very bad infection, and I'm still dealing with the infection. But if I wouldn't have that clear head that I needed to see what was going on, like, you know, learning to take care of my body and not just eating, I wouldn't really realize how bad the infection was. So cancer is bad. It's really bad. But overeating is much worse because I'm killing myself little by little. And it's very, very amazing. When I heard the broken bridge, I said, what do you mean broken bridge? So I was listening to somebody yesterday And she explained, like, going to the highway and this, and I said, oh, right, the broken. So learning to stop and said, higher power, I need help, knock, knock. And it's okay to knock, knock. Yesterday, I had to do 2 10 steps. I was furious at my husband, and I was upset about something else. I got it out. So that's to live in the solution, to live in one day at a time and be focusing on what I can do better, how I trust God, clean my side of the street, and help others. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Esther K. from Georgia. All right, we got Jim S. from Illinois, and then we'll see where we're at with time. Go ahead, Jim.
Thanks, Rick. And yeah, this is Jim F., like football in Illinois. I first got into Overeaters Anonymous about 6 years ago. I think I've had about six sponsors in those 6 years. And my pattern was I'd lose about half of the weight I wanted to lose. And then in the first half of the year, and then the second half of the year, I'd put it back. And, but this is all in the time that I'm in another program, which I've been in for 20 years, and I'm sponsoring other people. So, like, I knew the steps, you know, I knew how to work a program. I was working a program in another disease, but what was missing, it obviously wasn't knowledge about the steps, but it was, it's what these first three paragraphs on 30, you know, state, that I had to concede to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. And, you know, I had to be convinced that I was in the grips of a progressive disease. And it certainly has been progressive for me. I've always been able to diet and lose the weight when I wanted to, up until now, the past number of years. So, but I'm happy to say that I'm back in with a sponsor, and things are going well. But it wasn't knowledge, you know. I had to, I just, on a daily basis, I have to take the actions of the steps, just like all of you. I can't do the ones that are easy. I can't do the ones that are comfortable. I can't do the ones that I want to do. I have to do them all. And, you know, I do have this attitude today. I get to do them, and I get to try to be of service to God and other people today, instead of thinking about myself all the time. And thanks a lot. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Jim F. from Illinois. And I've got time for about a 2 minute share if somebody would like that.
This is Mary B., recovered from the UK, recovered compulsively from the UK. Can I take the 1 minute?
Yeah, you got a couple of minutes there. And who is this actually from the UK, Marley?
Mary B., recovered compulsively from the UK. I'm grateful.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Russ. My name's Mary, as I said, and it's great to be on the line today. And for many years, I too thought I could control and enjoy my compulsive eating, or I thought I had all the solutions already in another program where I had been relieved from compulsion and obsession very quickly. That was with alcohol. And what I own today is the spiritual awakening I've had as a result of going through the steps in a way which demonstrated to me that there was no human power and no tool, you know, a plan of eating or meetings or anything that could restore me to sanity in the way that this power greater than me could, and show me how my compulsion with food would manifest in my life as a physical symptom of this underlying spiritual malady, which had tentacles in all these other sort of areas, not just alcoholism, but also in my relationship with eating. And for a long time, even though I have head knowledge of that, I didn't have spiritual, intuitive and heart knowledge until probably my most recent working through of the steps, you know. And whilst my abstinence has evolved over 17 years, what hasn't quite kept up pace is the spiritual program. And now I've got that embedded in my life, and I'm working vigorously 10, 11, and 12, and looking to see how I can help other people have this spiritual awakening too. And I'm not meaning to cross-share, but as has been alluded to before, my service efforts in this program need to, hinge is the wrong word, but be felt meaningfully. You know, I need to be meaningfully demonstrate my capacity to carry the message to others, and I hope I can continue to do that. Thank you for what you've given me the opportunity to share, and wishing everybody an abstinent day ahead. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Mary B. from the UK, and thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for our second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, April 13th, 2026, is 23,363. That's 23,363. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.